Welcome to The Jay Kim Show, Hong Kong's very first podcast focused on entrepreneurship and investing in Asia. Join us as we survey the land and discover the greatest companies and most profitable investment opportunities in Asia. If this is your first time listening, thank you for stopping by. This podcast is produced every week with the goal of providing actionable insights to you, the listener, with every single episode. And now, on to the show. This week's guest is Jay Ferrugia. Jay is a highly sought-after, world-renowned strength and conditioning specialist and muscle-building expert. Over the last 17 years, he's personally trained more than 700 athletes from over 90 different NCAA, NFL, NHL, and Major League Baseball organizations. He also has worked exclusively with Hollywood stars and entertainers. But in addition to being a famous fitness trainer, Jay is also an entrepreneur. He runs a number of ventures on the side. You guys all know that I'm a fitness geek myself, so I was particularly excited to speak with Jay this week. He shares a lot of cool insights about his journey and some tips for older guys like myself on how to keep fit and stay in shape later in life. All right, let's get on to the show. Jay, welcome to the show. Thanks so much for coming on. We are excited to have you on today.
I'm excited to be here. Thanks for having me.
So for the audience listening in that might not have heard of you, maybe you could give a brief introduction. Who's Jay Ferrugia and what do you do for a living?
Sure. I started in the fitness industry in 94, training people. And I opened my own gym and I ran that for 15 years. It was primarily strength and conditioning, working with a lot of high-level athletes. And then in 2001, I started writing online and I started trying to make it a little bit more of a business in 2003. Just started selling some stuff. 2006, I really started to figure out how to make money online and started to transition more of my focus there just because of the obvious reach that I could have online versus in the gym. You know, I mean, the busiest day you have, you know, you're barely going to be able to see 100 people. You can reach hundreds of thousands online. So I made that my focus since 2006. Had the gym for 15 years and then sold it 7 years ago. And over the last 5+ years, I've kind of transitioned into doing a lot of still fitness stuff, but a lot of personal development, mindset stuff, communication skills, you know, building relationships, self-confidence. So now I work with people on that. I run masterminds and coaching programs, work with big organizations like the Los Angeles Dodgers on stuff like that. But I still continue to do the fitness thing, run the podcast, have a fitness app. So a lot of stuff.
Yeah, no, it's great. I've heard your podcast, Renegade Radio, and it's a good one. You're one of the pioneers. I mean, if you started writing online in 2001, that's way before, I mean, that's like web 1.0, well before a lot of people were online. So you actually kind of were, you saw the trend early, I guess.
OG style, son. Absolutely. Yeah. I was for sure. It was funny. Like, I was always a terrible student in school. The only thing I was actually any good at was writing. And we were getting such great results and I was getting referrals all the time. And the business was just, I was making six figures while I was still 19 or 20 in school. Like, and so I was just thinking, man, I got to start sharing this stuff. And originally it was just writing about training, but what made my writing stand out was that I told a lot of stories and I made it kind of infotainment and made it funny. And from there, things kind of just grew and blossomed. And then what's interesting is in 2003, I was making maybe like, I don't know, $300-$500 a month online. I'm just selling my own self-published stuff. And then Men's Fitness did a one-page article on me and they linked to my website. Now, today, that would do next to nothing. But back then, all of a sudden, I went from selling maybe $300 a month to $300 a day.
Wow.
And I'm like, wow, you know, I failed math a couple times, but I know that equals six figures. And I know there's some huge potential here. So let me start really focusing on this. And then around 2006, my good friend Craig Ballantyne had really kind of figured out how to do it online. So he helped me a bit. And then it's just been onward and upward since then.
Yeah, that's awesome. Craig was on our show earlier, and he's doing some great stuff. And I think both of you guys were pretty early adopters with that sort of thing. So with regards to fitness, though, I mean, was it just something like you were an athlete in school and you kind of just kept training afterwards that kept you on that path? Or was it specifically like you were interested in, you know, sports science and that sort of thing?
So it was more of I grew up, you know, as a kid in the 80s, I saw Schwarzenegger and Stallone on the big screen all the time. I was a huge wrestling fan, so I constantly was watching Hulk Hogan and the Ultimate Warrior.
Oh, yeah.
But here I was, a little skinny fat kid, and I was like, man, I want to be like that one day. Like, I want to be larger than life. So it wasn't as much. And it's funny because back then, like, you know, every team has a strength coach now, a nutritionist and this and that. But back then, like, you didn't hear as much about training for sport as much as you do today. Back then, it was kind of just like all about getting jacked and getting big and strong and whatnot. So I did that because I had such low self-confidence and I was just really insecure. So that was why I got into it, just to get bigger and stronger and, you know, help me feel better about myself. In retrospect, I wish I knew how much it could have helped me, because I played basketball. That was my main sport. I got cut from the football team because I was, like, I think, the skinny. from like what I grew up watching and my insecurity.
Right. Well, you know, I mean, it's funny because I feel like there's two camps. I mean, I was always a skinny kid as well. And then I never actually was able to beef up, so to speak. So I probably could have used you back in the day. But then I feel like as we get older, you know, I mean, I'm like almost 40 now, right? So, and I'm a fitness guy. Like, I'm not a fitness guy, but I'm an enthusiast. You know, I mean, I like to read and study, you know, nutrition and this sort of thing. But then now as I'm getting older, I feel like I just want to be lean now. Like, I don't care as much about being like, you know, having the jacked arms and that sort of thing, which is, I think a decade ago or more, I would have been like, okay, I want to look like, you know, the Men's Health cover model. But now I'm just kind of more like, I don't want to get injured and I want to just feel better, like when I'm sitting at work and, you know, I'm like training for, it's more like for optimizing my day more than anything. You know, I don't play sports anymore. You know, I have three kids and this sort of thing, but, you know,
I can totally relate to that. I mean, I used to I graduated high school at 147, then I got up to almost 230, and that was not a good healthy weight for me. So I stayed at that weight for probably, I don't know, 8 to 10 years. And now I'm like 180, I float between 185 and 188 maybe. And I just feel so much better. And I never got visible abs actually until I turned 40. I'll be 43 in a couple of days here. But,
oh, wow. It's awesome.
Yeah, so I finally figured out how to make that happen. Part of it was just getting over my obsession with being big, like you talked about.
Yeah, because it's both ends of the spectrum. I mean, you can't, you know, it's science, right? You can't get bigger when you're trying to lean your body fat out. What sort of workout are you on these days? I mean, I don't want to spend too much time talking about fitness, but like I said, I'm kind of a fitness junkie myself. So what's your workout now, like, on a regular basis?
It changes every few months, but, like, so for example, now I do upper lower 4 days a week, and I do, you know, for lack of a better term, mainly like functional movements, big movements. I'll do some big barbell stuff. I don't go heavy in low reps like I used to. So the heaviest I might go is like a 10 rep max, where I used to, you know, do 1 and 3 rep maxes. So I'll do some big compound movements, but a lot of dumbbells, a lot of body weight, kettlebells, a lot safer, joint friendlier stuff than I used to. So generally 3 to 4 days a week I lift, and then I'll hike once or twice, and I'll run some hill sprints once or twice a week too.
And so I know you don't do any sort of personal training anymore, but I know you still write a lot on your blog and stuff. Is that, like, I've always wondered, you know, I'm getting older now, so what would you recommend for people, say, like, fitness over 40 or whatever? I mean, is there certain changes that you would suggest? Because I feel like I'm okay now, but then, you know, I think, like, 2 months ago, I went a little heavier on the squat, and then I didn't, my recovery day, I think I wasn't recovering enough. And so and then the day after that, I went into another, like a upper body day, but I was doing like overhead press, like standing, and then it kind of tweaked my back. And it took me like 6 weeks to just that. And so I think, 5 years ago, I could have been fine, but I noticed little things here and there, my knees are a little bit sore. So how has your workout changed since you've sort of, as the years have gone by, and what would you recommend for older guys that are listening?
Yeah. So, I mean, it's hard to give a straight answer because it depends, right? So like I work with guys, or I help guys that are in their 40s that really never trained or never trained properly. So nothing really changes for them versus an 18-year-old. Like an 18-year-old will recover faster, sure, but if you're kind of weak and you're just at a beginner level, it almost doesn't matter. Like if you pay too much attention to that stuff, you're setting yourself up for failure, like worrying about that. So, but if you've been training for a long time and you're in your 40s, certainly things are going to change. You're not going to recover as fast, but you can get around that by really making sure as you get older, you really pay attention to your warm up. So in the old days, in my 20s, my warm up might have been 5 minutes. Now it might be 20. It's easily 20 minutes. If my training partner is running late, I have no problem with my warm up being 30 minutes. Now that's excessive for a lot of people, but as you mentioned earlier, I want to feel good and be ready for my day and be ready for anything. So I don't want to be sore. I don't want to be stiff. So warming up, cooling down is important. A lot of people just run right out of the gym. You really need to pay attention to your sleep. In your 20s, you can get away with crappy sleep or 5-6 hours. As you get older, you can't. So sleep has to be dialed in. Nutrition has to be dialed in more. Like all these things you can get away with in your younger days, you can't anymore. Now, if you do all those things, it makes a huge difference. And then age doesn't become as much of as an excuse. Like you get banged up and you lose mobility as you get older because you stop playing and stop moving and stop doing stuff so much. So right. I would say doing stuff more. Sometimes taking the opposite approach doesn't really work. That said, you got to be really smart when you're in the gym, perfect form, right. Stay away from failure. If something hurts, obviously don't do it. And, 3 to 4 strength training workouts a week without overdoing it. The specifics, it would take me 2 hours to get into really the specifics, but a general plan, like most people either do 3 full body workouts where you do an upper body push, an upper body pull, a lower body exercise, like a squatting exercise, a hinge, and maybe some kind of loaded carry. You do that 3 times a week, or you break it up and do upper lower 4 days a week. And you can't go wrong with that. And then like 12 to 16 total work sets. Can't go wrong with that.
Right. Cool. So as someone that's been in the fitness industry for a long time and seen it sort of evolve, like I feel like the whole internet has actually helped, despite it's hurt and helped, so there's a lot of garbage out there as far as information goes, but it's also quite transparent now, because before it was just like picking up Flux magazine or Muscle and Fitness, and that's the only source of information that right. non-professionals or non-certified people would have. But now there's the internet, so you get a bunch of junk, but then you also get some really good content out there and information. What's one sort of thing that you've seen happen, or maybe that annoys you about the fitness industry in its current state?
I just think it's unfortunate for people nowadays, so I'm talking about the general public. There's so many people on Instagram. Before Instagram, you kind of had to, prove yourself a little more. Now everybody on Instagram who has maybe good genetics and is on some kind of performance-enhancing drug sells a coaching program or a workout, and that doesn't mean that they are qualified as a coach. It's like, who would you want to teach you how to play basketball, Phil Jackson or Michael Jordan? Just because Michael Jordan's great doesn't mean he's going to be a great coach.
Right.
So you see all these people, and they're not really qualified. You really, to help people, you should have trained people for at least 5 years. 10 years is even better before you start selling programs and whatnot. It's hard to know really, unless you work with a lot of people, it's really hard to know and relate. So I just think that's, you know, for anyone listening who is considering buying something online, you research that person's background and their reputation a little bit. Make sure they've worked with a lot of people and have a lot of success stories.
Yeah, and on the flip side of that, Jay, is when you go into the gym and you see like the fat trainer, right? Like the guy that's in there that right. that shouldn't be there, or I don't know, maybe he's completely certified and he knows his stuff, but he just doesn't look like what you would want to look like. So I never understood that. I've actually never used a personal trainer. So anyway, well, thanks for that sort of introduction. So what? Tell me about what you're working on these days. I know that you have a handful of businesses, and you're now a kind of a entrepreneur. You do a lot of different things. So what are you working on now?
So I'm really putting a ton of time and effort and focus into the podcast, and that's getting closer and closer to where I want it to be in terms of downloads and sponsorships and guests and all that. So that's really been my main thing. And then we've had my membership site since 2009, and we've been working for quite a while now on a whole redevelopment and relaunch of that coming up in a couple weeks here in September, which is it's going to be the Renegade Strong app, which will replace the Renegade Strength Club. So it'll just be a newer, updated, more 2017 kind of user-friendly app where you get workouts, videos, coaching, all that. So I'm excited about that. That's really taking a lot of my time and effort and focus. So just those two things mainly. And then I had a great opportunity just come to me out of nowhere in the middle of the summer for another product that should do really well. So I have to work on that a little bit. And
so that's about it, really. On the podcast, what do you? You're up to like 200 episodes now, or something like that.
I think we've recorded almost 200. We may have even recorded 200, but we're I think 189 or something came out today, maybe.
Why don't you can you give us our audience an overview of I mean, it's not just fitness that you talk about. I know there's a lot of other good sort of life stuff that you talk about on there. What's your premise of the podcast?
Yeah, so I mean, it's really just helping you unleash your strongest self, and it's stuff that I find interesting. So, you know, for example, today Mark Sisson's on. Last week we had a friend of mine who was a Tori Wilson was a big WWE superstar back in the heyday of The Rock and Stone Cold Steve Austin. So we have fitness stuff, mindset, personal development, anything. For every episode, you're going to get some kind of takeaway and something you could apply to your life. There's hopefully you're going to laugh. There's going to be entertainment in each one. There's good stories. We get silly and just, you know, so. A wide variety of stuff, but all about just getting better.
Yeah, that's awesome. So, you know, I want to talk about sort of life, not life, but I guess optimizing your like yourself in ways other than fitness. Although fitness is to me, in my opinion, as entrepreneurs, it's like the number one productivity hack. Like the difference between when I'm, you know, in shape and I'm working out, or even just after I work out, you know, my mind is on fire, right? Like I'm in the shower and I have all these ideas come pop into my head, and it's a like direct benefit of working out and exercise. And you know, there's a lot of very, you know, successful entrepreneurs and professionals and politicians that they all swear by sort of getting their exercise in. A lot of them work out in the morning. So what are some other areas of I don't know, wellness, if you will, that you recommend? I mean, are you into meditation at all, that sort of thing?
Yeah, I've been meditating. I'm not sure if it's 10 years now. It's at least 7. I feel like it might be 10. But yeah, meditation's huge for me. That made a big difference, because coming from the East Coast, and I guess people who meet me now in person, when I tell them that I'm less fired up and intense than I used to be, would be like, Jesus, what were you like Sam Kinison on an 8-ball or something? But it helped me, because it was almost like I was almost too intense and too fired up, and you know, it was almost not good for me in a way. So it helped me get focused a bit and to calm down and to definitely deal with stress a lot better. So I would definitely be, you know, like that Sam Kinison character when stress or confrontation came about.
Part of that is just kind of that East Coast, you know, growing up outside of New York City, just everybody's kind of like that.
Yeah.
Especially
yeah, that's
if, true. You know, you grow up in an Italian family with all loudmouth screaming all the time and cursing. So, that kind of was just me for so long. When I started meditating, it definitely made a difference. And it was cool because a couple years into it, I would see people at events or something that I hadn't seen in a while. And they're like, wow, you're noticeably different. And I was like, wow, that's cool to hear. So it just helped me in a lot of ways. So yeah, definitely that. I mean, I agree with everything you said about exercise and fitness. That is the foundation. I mean, The Rock and Arnold have always talked about that. That's got to be the foundation.
Yeah, absolutely. So do you meditate every day and at a certain time every day?
Yeah, I do it first thing in the morning when I get up for 20 minutes.
Okay. I
was going to say if I could fit in a second session somewhere, I will for 10 to 20 minutes as well.
Yeah, so that's an interesting one because, you know, there's a lot of entrepreneurs and wellness experts that advocate meditation. I've actually tried it, but what ends up happening is because I do it in the morning, like by the, and I think I used Headspace or one of these apps, and I think I'm not getting enough sleep. So by the sort of 10th day, I was like, okay, I'm going to do it for 2 weeks or a month and commit to it. But by the 10th day, I found myself just literally nodding off and going back to sleep upright instead of actually going through it. So do you use an app or do you just kind of use a certain technique? Or
I use HoloSync, which I like. I've been using that since day one. Sometimes if I'm somewhere without it, because I like to be away from my phone. So I have the original one that came with a CD. Like I don't have my phone in my bedroom or anything. So I just have a little CD player. So I'll throw that on first thing in the morning. And I'm big on keeping my phone off and whatnot. So like if I'm at the beach or something, I might just meditate with nothing. And then recently somebody introduced me to a transcendental meditation teacher, which I've been wanting to learn that for years. I know so many people that I admire, like Jerry Seinfeld and Howard Stern, who are big on that. So I'm going to go through the course probably sometime this fall and get trained in TM.
Yeah, that's a pretty popular one as well. So maybe you could share with us a little bit about your sort of daily routine. Are there any things that you kind of make in addition to meditation and your workouts when they're your workout days? You mentioned, cause you mentioned like the no cell phone thing, which I think is pretty important, you know, and for me, I find myself, I'm most guilty when I'm interacting with my kids, because I'm kind of there, but I'm not really present. You know what I mean? So yeah. I have to make a conscientious effort not to be on my phone. What are some other habits, rituals that you practice that you find has helped you, overall, in your life?
Yeah, so first thing in the morning, I'm big on the whole morning routine, and then that's when I get my most productive work done. So cell phones off, emails off. I use self-control. There's a self-control app I use for Mac, so I set that at night. So I couldn't access, even if I wanted to, any stat-checking sites, like check on my sales or check on my traffic or whatever I might want to check on, so I don't waste time. So first thing in the morning, I meditate. I read a passage from the Tao Te Ching or like Epictetus or something like that just to kind of get my head right. I will work on my most important task. So I go through a little thing where I make my own little French press coffee and all that, and then go through my most – I write in a journal. Okay. And then while I'm making the coffee, I write in the journal. I'm reading. And then I work on my most important task for an hour, and I set a timer so I get it done, and then that's over with. And that's really the extent of it. Sometimes I'll read more of whatever book I'm reading. It depends on the day and what my schedule is. I generally, pretty much most days, I read for an hour. If I don't and I go to bed at night without having read for an hour, I kind of just get bummed out and a little down on myself. So I fit that in somehow, some way. Although lately, to be quite honest, like this summer, my schedule has been insane. So I've read less than normal. But that's really the morning stuff. And then I get outside early, because that benefits you in a multitude of ways. You sleep better when you get outside early, especially, and then I like to get vitamin D, so shirt off, no sunglasses first thing in the morning. That helps you sleep better. It sets your mood for the day, helps set your circadian rhythms, so you feel better. So and throughout the day, I like to be aware of how much time I've spent outside. Most people spend maybe a half hour, an hour, or 2 hours max outside, and they're inside for 22 hours, which is so unnatural. Like, yeah. If you think about the way we're meant to live, it's so not healthy and so not normal. So I'll take my laptop outside. If I have to work, I'll do phone calls outside. I try to be consciously aware of getting outside as much as possible. And then what's crucially important to me is reaching out to friends and making time for friends every single day. So texting friends, writing handwritten letters, connecting people. I try to connect people at least 3 days a week, if not more. Just connect friends to somebody else, because it's, you know, one of the best things you could be is a super connector. And scheduling time for social activities, which a lot of entrepreneurs don't do. They just work 24/7, which is so easy to do. So I make sure every week I have coffee and lunch scheduled at least twice. I have dinner scheduled. I have fun, just social activities like going to concerts or going to comedy clubs and dinner with friends. So I always prioritize that, which I think gets overlooked. People are always looking for the business tactics and glorifying the 24/7 hustle. And that's cool, that's right. You burn out. There's no balance, and it's not healthy. So,
yeah, I think the whole the hustle nation or whatever, I mean, it's a bit overplayed. And to that point, you know, I mean, people like, you know, like Craig is a good example of, he calls himself what, the most disciplined man alive. And it's great that he has like these rigid sort of guidelines. And I agree with the fact that there is freedom within structure. But at the same time, there's also life that just kind of gets in the way sometimes, you know, and if you have kids or you never know, like something blows up and you kind of have to be versatile and agile to dip and dive around these things. So I think that a lot of people, you know, I mean, are trying to find, and it's different for every person, but you just kind of have to find what works for you. I think it's good to have a few sort of guidelines and structural elements in your day, but other than that, it's kind of to each their own. So Jay, you know, it's been fun catching up, and thanks for coming on the show. What you said you were pretty focused on the podcast and sort of your business, your online business. Do you still have a coffee business, by the way?
Yeah, we do. Where I really don't do much for it because I have so much other stuff going on. So I'm not sure what the future holds for that. But I mean, that in itself is a business lesson that I try to teach and remind myself of all the time is, you know, don't try to do everything, even though something sounds exciting at time. I do recommend that people read books like The One Thing and The 80-20 Rule and Essentialism. And you do have a much better chance of success if you really focus on just a few things. Focus on your 20%. Sometimes, you know, we might see outliers, like I mentioned, like The Rock or Kevin Hart or Arnold, who seem to do a million things well.
Right.
But they are outliers. Not everybody can do that. They're more the exception than the rule. The rule is, if you look at people throughout history who are ultra successful and memorable, you know, say Martin Luther King or Ali or Bruce Lee, like they did one or two things and did them really well. And if you look at all across all spectrums, that's usually the case. There are definitely people who can do a lot of things, but I think you'll have better chances of success if you do one thing. And look, if you want to do multiple things, you can, but it's really hard to do them all at once. Do one thing until you achieve a certain level of success, and then branch out and start something else, and then move on to the next thing. It's very difficult to do multiple things well all at once.
Yeah, 100%. That's great advice, Jay. You know, I think a lot of, and I'm guilty of it as well. And again, because the internet and social media, and you see everyone doing everything, it's easy to get into that trap where you're like, oh, I want to be, you know, Superman and just, you know, be like everyone, everything, all like good at everything, which is not really reality.
100%. And then people waste so much time when the reality is that people would be more successful if they spent more time on their people skills and their social skills.
And instead of starting a new business or trying to do all these things for your business or trying to optimize social media and your email list and YouTube, if you would spend that time rereading How to Win Friends and Influence People and go out and go on meetup.com and go to things, like, business is all about relationships. So once I figured that out and once I overcame my social awkwardness and my shyness and my inability to communicate, everything changed for me. That's so much more important than figuring out the latest tactics and strategies. And so it's not just for the balance that I schedule all these social activities. It's for practice, because I'm naturally socially awkward and can't communicate. So for me, every day, I want to put myself out there and be in groups of people and be with friends and practice communicating the same way you practice your sport, or your, going to the gym is practice to improve your squat or whatever it is you do for your business. But that's crucially important.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, cool, man. So you have a some sort of product that's going to drop pretty soon, which I guess we're excited. We'll be keeping an eye out for that. Where's the best place for my audience to find you, follow you, connect with you, and maybe learn a little bit more about you?
Yeah, just go to jay.fit, jay.fit. That will redirect you to my website, because my last name is super hard to spell and remember. So you can find everything there, and that'll give you the Renegade Radio podcast and all the other stuff.
Yeah, awesome. All right, man. Thanks so much for coming on. We had a good time. Appreciate
Thanks,
it.
Thanks, Jay. Appreciate it.
All right, take care.
I hope you enjoyed today's episode. All the show notes and links can be found over at jkimshow.com. Come back often and make sure you subscribe, rate, and review. Don't forget to join us next week for another exciting episode of The J. Kim Show. I'd love to hear your comments. You can find me on Twitter at jkimmer, jaykimmer. See you guys next week. This podcast is brought to you by Hack Your Fitness, the high achiever's guide to getting ripped in under 3 hours a week. If you're anything like me, you're probably working a full-time job or jobs and trying to find time to balance family life, social life, and last but not least, fitness. Look, I get it. I'm a full-time investor and entrepreneur myself, and father of two. So how am I able to stay fit year-round without spending hours and hours in the gym killing myself on the cardio machine? After struggling for the last 15 years trying every workout and diet under the sun, I finally designed a system that allows me to achieve and maintain single-digit body fat for life in under 3 hours a week, cardio not required. Head on over to hackyour.fitness and download my free 13-page guide that teaches you the simple science behind efficient fitness and smart nutrition and gives you everything you need to know to finally take control of your life. That's hackyour.fitness.